Now, dear Heavenly Father, as we now get into the Word of God and go right to our bread from heaven, that which we just don't read about, but we eat, Father, we consume it until it becomes one with us. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Ghost that has come into the body of Christ and into the hearts of men to help validate, to help seal them for the coming kingdom that where we be with our Lord. Hallelujah. And so today, Father, as I share the word and do a little recapping, Father, I pray that it will enlighten and that it will bless in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we've been doing a series on Sunday morning that we are to live a prioritized life. And we brought that out in Proverbs 22:6. So let's turn there, Proverbs 22:6. And it says in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Actually, the Hebrew word should have been, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the connotation here is that if you train up a child properly, he'll always remain in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Amen. And the word train up means to instruct, and to instruct also by leading in an example. And one thing about the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our lives, he comes into it to do what? To help us be good witnesses. Not only to our loved ones, but also those that we come in contact with and we live with in life. And so this word then again, raised or trained, literally means, it means the quality or state of coming first in time. The first in importance, the right or privilege of precedence over other things. To teach, to lay a foundation. Actually, it talks about watersheds back in that time. Irrigation was a big thing. And so it was referring to how men would literally purposely channel water to certain areas to water certain things, whether it was a crop or whether it was grass. Or they actually had grass back in that day, green grass, hallelujah. But the thing that I'm bringing out here is that when a person is trained up properly and has a proper priorities laid into his life, the word train means to place a personal strong foundation in them. And that's so important for all of us to understand. Now, when I first came into the kingdom of God, I was just thinking this way. I was thinking, now that I'm saved, I got to make sure I'm in church so that in spite of my nasty life, God will see fit to bring me to the third heaven when I die or get raptured out of here, however I'm believing that I'm going to exit. You know what I mean? And so later on in life, I begin to realize that there's a process of growth that should take place in our life. Wow, what a concept. You know, you mean to tell me I'm supposed to grow up in the Lord? A lot of us don't realize that you can be in church your whole life and be a baby and not even realize it. Because in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about that. It says, though you've been in church for a long time, you need someone to teach you the first principles. You know? Because strong meat belongs to those who have trained or disciplined themselves or exercised themselves to discern what is good and what is evil. Oh, man. That's a new concept, isn't it? And so when we talk about training our children how to live, we're training them how to live with the society of their natural life as well as their eternal life, a heavenly society. And then also, I want to bring out, as a pastor, I've seen people come and I've seen people go. And partly because I was responsible for them leaving and partly because I was not responsible for them leaving. And I've also seen those who had a zeal for God, but their zeal was not according to knowledge. Now, one thing that we need to understand is that when God communicates to us, God communicates to us in commandments. It's people who communicate back to God with options. But really, when God will even receive the voice of our options, but when He answers even that back, it's in a form of commandment. Can you imagine God leaving us an answer to anything without it being perfect? Well, that's the way God is. When it says, for line must be upon line and precept upon precept, the word precept is commandment. And the word line means that which connects one commandment with another commandment. The Bible also says that as we grow and develop, we grow and develop in our faith towards ministers who literally preach the gospel to us. We find that in Romans chapter 10. But the unique thing about this understanding of what people preach to us is the fact that they speak a rhema. They do not speak a logo. God speaks the logos, but we speak the rhema. And you got to remember, our growth is developed upon someone else's interpretation of what God has said. So we have to be careful with what we do here. And it says even in the latter times, people are going to look for teachers that will appease their own way of thinking. And I've learned over the years, even as a pastor, you've got to leave that door of humility open for change. And change requires growth. Or I should say, growth demands change. And so, as I begin to grow in the things of the Lord through the Word of God, I begin to realize how much of a baby I was at one time, but never thought of myself as a baby at that time. But now I look at myself as a little more mature, a little above average, so to speak. I don't want to go bragging on myself, but anyway. This series that I'm sharing with you has 5 points to it. And the first point was to get ourselves under control and out of the way. If we do not realize how important it is for us to develop and grow up, especially in the society that we live in, then it's going to be real tough with us to even know how to relate to mankind. And God did not bring us into the kingdom so that eventually we would get to the third heaven. He brought us into the kingdom of God so that we would be witnesses to the lost and the dying. And so the first thing God does, He tries to get you into a house that you belong to, a particular house that you belong to, and then that house should be the one that brings you to a prioritization. In other words, that ministry should be able to develop you spiritually. And that's what we're committed to, is to develop you spiritually. Not only just to give you information that makes you a good Christian, but also that would give you information that would cause you to grow up and clean yourself up. And live a whole different way of life. Because according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17, it says that when you come into the kingdom of God, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, Paul clearly defines the fact. And let's turn over there and look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. These are very important things that we need to understand. I found them out the hard way, but thank God I found them out. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, it says here, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, it's very interesting. In the Greek, it's worded a little differently. And so I'm going to read it to you according to the original text. And everyone struggling in all things exercises self-control. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You know, a lot of times we don't realize that we're growing up in Him. We not only grow up in Him to be a witness and a testimony to this society and this life, but God also at the same time conditions us for eternal life. And the more that we are opened and the more that we permit eternal life to be developed into us, it will bring a shining light into our life. And so when I get there, I want to be bright. I don't want to get there flickering. You know what I mean? Like I've been short-circuited. But I want to be well-pleasing to God while I'm here and when I get there. I want to be. You know, and I think all of us should have that mentality. Not having the mentality that God covered my sin and bless God, I'll be glad when it's all over and I just hang in there till I get there. That's kind of like the way you would raise your own children. You would raise your own children not to discipline or train them or bring them up in the way that they should go. Well, the first place that you train them up in is the home. Now, if you as my neighbor come to my house and start disciplining my kids in my house, I'd look at you like you're a nutcase. These are my kids. I'm going to bring them up the way I think they should be in my house. And so I had not realized the concept of how important church is. Churches are what we call our heavenly home. It's where we come and we fellowship together and we grow up together. Amen? Listen, church is not the evangelistic center of the world. Church is the house that we live in. We have a spiritual father, and he begins to cause us to grow up in him, supposedly. There are some pastors out of season. Anyway, we won't get into that. But notice what he says here. He says, therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. Now, what does he mean by I fight not as one who beats the air? He's saying that he has a definite opponent that he strikes at. He has a definite opponent that he strikes at. Well, what opponent is it? Well, he clearly defines what that opponent is. But I treat severely of me the body and lead it as a slave. Well, the first thing that I begin to learn as I grew in the Lord is my body becomes a slave to me. The Bible is clear that our outward man and our inward man are not the same. They're not the same thing. They're different. And one is opposed to the other. You know, one thing about Scripture, Jesus had said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. The one thing that shocked me is the fact that being spirit, soul, body, the thing that shocked me more than anything, I was preaching about being born again, but didn't know what it meant until a Christian brother of mine asked me. He says, I noticed that you say things one way, but you speak another. And he began to realize I didn't really know what I was preaching. And so I said, so he asked me, he says, do you know what part of you was born again? And I sat there and I went, yeah. You know, you don't want to admit no. Because here you have him as your musician going with you and you're doing all the teaching. And one thing you do is you always preach born again. And so he asked me one day, he says, what part of you was born again? Well, I dare him to ask me that. Seeing how I didn't even know what the heck he was talking about. Well, how do you see it? You know, rather than saying, I don't know, you're telling the truth. I said, well, how do you see it? And he says, well, I think when you get born again, our spirit was the one that was born again. And he was circumcised from an outer man through the Holy Spirit. Wow. And he says, I didn't think you knew. I guess they gave him the understanding I didn't know. But he did not realize he revolutionized my life. And I begin to realize, wow, things begin to change immensely after that. And one of the things that I learned is that as I grow in him, the first area that God prioritizes my life in is that he puts a whole new way of discipline into my life that is contrary to my outward man's desires. I was shocked. I didn't realize that. And so things begin to change. I begin to peel off areas of darkness in my life that was not permitted. You know, Paul told the Corinthian church he had more problems with the Corinthian church than any other church simply because they were his problem child. They were steeped in every kind of sin you could think of. And he had heard from the leadership that someone had been found in incest. And he says, even though I'm not present, he says, I already thus judge that this person should be judged. Turn him over to the enemy for the salvation of his soul, for the destruction of his flesh, for the salvation of his soul. Now, this is how I used to think that he meant that. I thought he was saying, gosh, give him over to the devil and let the devil have him for a while. And he'll come back repentant or else he'll lose his life forever. Because I based that concept on the thought of whether he would remain saved or not. And really, that is not where Paul was coming from. He was literally coming from the fact that if you permit darkness in a believer's life and permit him to walk in it, you cannot deliver his soul. Because his soul has to be, darkness has to be removed from it. That statement had nothing to do with whether he would be saved or not. It had everything to do with not permitting darkness in the mind of the body of Christ. You have to purge the soul from darkness. And that's where Paul was coming from. And of course, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that guy got right and got back in. And now God is able to save his soul. It's a process. So being saved, sozo, is instantaneous. But salvation is a process of the soul. See, your soul being cleansed of darkness for light. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Praise God. And so Paul says, I'm not just beating the air. I got a hold of me and my understanding of my body and I discipline it. And this is one thing that's not being taught in the body of Christ as you grow up. You have to learn to realize that you've been crucified with Christ on the cross, meaning your outward man was put to death through Scripture. That you would be resurrected to a new you, which is your spirit. And now your spirit should make your body its slave, not the body making you a slave to it. Because you and your body are not the same thing. Or else you would not have Romans 5:12. Sin came into the world through the first Adam, and Romans 6:12 says, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey the lust of it. Then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under, but I treat it severely, the body of me, and lead it as a slave. Romans 7:5, for when we were in the flesh. Romans 8:9, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. Romans 8:10, your bodies are dead dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Glory to God. He says in Romans 8:12, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Romans 8:13, the practices of the body you must put to death. Colossians 3:9, having put off the old man with the practices of him. Colossians 3:1-10, putting off the body of flesh. Hallelujah. And then 2 Corinthians 5:1-8, Philippians 1:21-24, 1 Peter 4:1-2. Powerful. It talks about something having to be done with our outer being, and that is so important for you to begin to start growing up. We are living in a very busy world right now. Yeah, it is so busy that we don't have time for our own home. I'm talking about your natural home. It is so busy now, you don't have time not only for your natural home, but your spiritual home. Why? Well, anything we need to know, just go to your... Now, I'd say, computer, now it's... There's a little square box. And you learn everything right out of a little square box. And so anymore, you don't have to develop communication. You can sit right next to somebody and talk to them. And they can be sitting right next to you. And that's, pardon me, but that's what I call dumb. Stupid. That can get you so hooked, you're a danger to society. You can do it no matter what time or anywhere. And that's not good. Now, I think I said enough about point one. Point two, to get our enemy under control, Colossians 2:11-15. It talked about when Jesus had descended, he led captivity captive, brought those spirits that were in paradise, and brought them up out of there, and he put off principalities of power. He took the key, the authority that Satan had over the spirit of man. He took that key away from him and said, now it belongs to me. Now it belongs to me. And so right now, Jesus is operating in his priestly ministry. And thank God for us, it's completed. There ain't anything you can add to it or take away from it. He did it perfectly, just like what Mike was saying. We are his workmanship. That's the Greek word poimen, meaning God's complete creatability had been put into us. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And what believers don't understand is that God exists with us in the priestly ministry, but mankind still has his free will. And the free will that mankind has, that Satan is the god of this world, is the outward man's right to freedom of choice. So when we were redeemed from our outward man, it's because we chose him and entered into his kingdom and his authority. But that did not give us the right to take the place that God himself would not take, and that is to rule over the will of natural man where he lives. Now, we can pray for them. We can lift them up in prayer when they're walking in darkness and ask God to give them light, but it's still up to them to choose through their outer man. But our inward man has been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's where Satan hits us the most. He wants to get us not to understand what we have been made new in him. And we find this really clear in Ephesians 6:13-18. See, our warfare is not with society, but with the government structure of Satan. And Jesus said, if a man can get revelation knowledge or revelation insight, he says he can build his church, and that church would not be overcome by the government structure of Satan. And so when you get into Ephesians 6, starting at about verse 10, Now, I've had other ministers disagree with me here, but me understanding the Greek structure and the tense of that verse, the Apostle Paul literally turned to a group of people within the church there at Ephesus, and he says, I'm designating you people, because the book of Ephesians is chronologically a progressive book. And he says, I'm choosing you for those who do not have the understanding of what I just presently had penned as far as growing in him. I want this group to turn and do warfare, to do warfare against the enemy for the brothers and sisters who have not grown into their place of salvation. Are you following what I'm saying? Is they're not grown up yet, but you are growing up, and I want you to go and put on the full armor of God, and I want you to stand in a place that they can't stand, and I want you to begin to supplicate for them. Take your authority that you know and pray for them. Now, the areas that Satan wants to hit you the most is basically six areas that you find in Ephesians that these seasoned ministers were praying for other ministers about. One thing is that when you come into the kingdom of God, you have believers who are not grown. They're babies. And so they don't really understand the twisting of truth, because there are many false prophets and teachers to seduce them. And so you have to have someone do some warfare until you get to a place where truth is no longer twisted in your eyes. You understand what truth is. Then the second thing, your righteousness. That one song that we sing, I love it. It is powerful. I am who you say I am. And your righteousness, your right standing with him was established in him for you. It wasn't anything you could do to establish yourself in him. He had to establish you in him himself. That's why you got to be careful of terminology. I want to build my relationship. Well, you need to define what relationship really means. Relationship is bloodline. Relationship means you were conceived and now you're a child of God. God did something for our relationship. We need to do something with our fellowship. I can walk with anybody according to relationship. No. Relationship, I can walk with anybody. But fellowship, we have a hard time there sometimes. Because I like righteousness. What if you got a brother that ain't clear of righteousness? His soul is not delivered yet. So I have to watch my attitude, my heart towards him until he gets cleaned up. And not end up with a religious spirit and judge him. Anyway, Satan wants to see to it that you don't understand truth. He wants to see to it you don't understand what righteousness means, your right standing with God. And number three, where your walk should be for peace. There are Christians who walk in places that you're not going to find peace. You have to learn how to walk before the Lord so that you find peace. Did you know that Jesus said, well, I don't want to get into that because I get into the different kinds of peace and that'll throw us all off. But I want to stick to my point here. As Christians sometimes walk in places they have no business walking, and they don't know why they keep running into not having any peace. Number four, faith. Your shield that stops the things Satan shoots at you. Listen, if you don't understand your position against the powers of darkness, I got news for you. He can sell you a bill of goods. You got to know who your enemy is. You know, I was studying end time events, that last 7 years of the apocalypse versus the church age versus the Old Testament. And I begin to realize some of the greatest minds on end time things are messed up when it comes to the position Satan holds against the church. What does Satan have over the church. I'll tell you what it is. Zip. But I got news for you. There's a position that you have in the kingdom of God, and it's over the powers of darkness. But you do not have a right to position yourself over the authority of man. That still belongs to mankind. Hallelujah. And so you have to understand faith and how important it is, so that when the devil tries to get you to buy into anything that he shoots at you, you'll know how to stop that. Number five, the understanding of your salvation of the soul, so you can use the word of God, which is the sword of your spirit. See, a lot of people don't understand salvation. They don't understand that salvation, the part of salvation, because they look at it, sozo being saved and salvation is one and the same, and they're not. Sozo is God's business. Salvation is your business for growth. It's called soteria. God had soteria over the Old Testament believers. New Testament believers, the present day ministry of Christ, you're now the one possessing soteria. And then, that last 7-year period, soteria goes back to God. You don't know how blessed you are because you have soteria. No, and that's what the enemy does not want you to know. These points. Number 6. Which qualifies you to pray for others. And it's all found in Ephesians 6 there. Matter of fact, he's talking to this special group of people. And he says, after having done all to stand, standing there with. In the Greek, it's worded different. He says, after having done everything that you had previously done for others, now stand in for these. Why? Because you're going to be used in the ministry of prayer. And the ministry of prayer is called what? It is called, in the body of Christ, it is called supplication. That's what the prayer of supplication is. It's when you pray for others. You know, what I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray with the Spirit. You know, people say, when I don't know how to pray with my understanding, I pray with the Spirit. How many of you know that that's right? You can do that. Right. Amen? But did you know that when you're praying in your understanding, you know what's helpful? To know and understand what you're praying about. Most people say, when you pray in your understanding, you could be praying wrong. Well, that's true. You can. But really, the understanding that he's talking about there is coming to understand his will, so that when you pray in your understanding, you know how to pray for somebody else. Not sitting there, and I will pray with my understanding because I'm stupid and my understanding could be messed up. He's saying there, you will pray for brothers and sisters in your understanding because you know the will of God to pray for them. But there are some cases where you don't know how to pray for them. You might as well just go into tongues. That's so true. It's very important. So we've covered again up to what we're talking about. Then to perfect our fellowship. People, if you do not understand the book of 1 John, it is impossible for you to develop the love of God in your heart. You have to be able to understand the book of 1 John in confessing your sin before him. And it's not confessing personal sin before him that the book of 1 John chapter 1 is talking about. It's talking about the sins of broken fellowship. You have to acknowledge that there's something in between you and a brother or a sister that you keep stumbling over. You need to seek God how to remove that stumbling stone for light to come in so that you can walk with them. Now, it can be a personal sin. Don't get me wrong. It can be. But the sin he's specifically talking about here in text, He's referring to the sins that come between you and a brother or sister in the Lord. Those are the ones you have to come to admit to. Because in the Greek there, matter of fact, the book of 1 John, a lot of it is very repetitive information. It's talking about a continuing process of missing the mark with a brother or sister. In the Greek, it's continuous action in a lot of the verses. And so we have to eventually learn to realize that we have to be able to come to the maturity of how to walk with people. And I'm going to tell you something. If you sit at home and watch your favorite preacher on TV, that will do you no good to grow in the love of God. None whatsoever. All that will do is feed your self-ego. It won't do anything to cause a perfection of growth in you, because you have to learn how to walk with a society that you do not possibly agree with. So, our fellowship is important. I'm going to do a book on 1 John. I'm going to write a book on it because of how important it is. Because that book of 1 John was written after the book of Apocalypse. Because, again, the Apostle John was the elder of the book of Ephesus. And he said, this church is doing everything right except one area. It wasn't growing in the love of God that they had at the beginning of whatever they were doing. You know, it's true. When I first came into the Lord, the Lord could have told me to bow down and worship his toes. And I not only would have bowed down and worshiped his toes, I would have counted each one. And I would have been willing to stay there when I was first saved. But you know, down the road of time, you get a little lethargic, a little complacent. You start losing your zeal, especially for the church. For brothers and sisters, you start forgetting. A lot of people will step out of church and they forgot what they had learned. The word lethargic came from a drink that they used to take back in their day. Today it would be a drink for Prozac, but back then it was called Lethe. And when you drank this stuff, it brought a forgetfulness to your thinking. And you were just kind of like a zombie. And you just walk around and you had no pressure anymore. Why? Because you forgot about things that put pressure on you. And so that's what happens when you get out of the presence of God. You can't find the presence of God in your own home alone. The presence of God is everywhere. And there's a presence of God that you find in your church that you will not find in your home. And there's a presence of God you find in your home you won't find in the church. Because they're different. I much prefer the presence of God in the church, because the presence of God in my home deals with moi. But when I get into the church, it takes the focus off me and puts it on everybody else. Hallelujah. The Hebrew nation. One thing you have to understand, point number four, to develop for our calling, everyone who receives Christ is what we call born into the kingdom of God. And listen, when God enters your name into the Lamb's Book of Life, do you know that whatever God does, he does it with purpose? Do you think God just entered your name into the Lamb's Book of Life when you were conceived in secret? He did it without a purpose and a plan for you? How many of you believe that? He did it with a purpose and plan for you. He thought it all out. People, they come up with this understanding. An eternity passed before you were even conceived. He said, the scripture don't even validate that. The scripture does validate the fact that when you were conceived into secret, then you came into existence. And the minute you did, it says he put your name into the Lamb's Book of Life. It's up to humanity to remove that name, not God. Some Christians believe that God is waiting to find something wrong with you so he could erase your name. And that's not true at all. You don't know how far God will go with you until you quit breathing. And when you step on the other side, you'll know. But God will work with you to your grave. That's the kind of God he is. He loves you that much. Isn't that good? So even David said it. He said, when I was conceived in the secret, even though my members were not even formed, I was amoeba. He says, God then saw that as alive and put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you don't think that God knew the outcome of what he had for you? I don't think so. But can you imagine outer space? All them little stars? He named every one of them. And they say they don't know how big outer space is, but they know it's growing. That's a pretty big mind, wouldn't you say? It's way beyond ours. And so God has a place for you in the kingdom. You just got to find it. But the only way you're going to find it is growth. Some people think the only way they're going to find their calling to ministry is somebody prophesy it on them. That's dangerous. Because God, he'll locate your ministry for you, but he'll do it with you and him. And then somebody will come along and prophesy and give confirmation to what God told you. So you have to develop for your calling. But before that, you have to learn to walk with people. So important. So important. So our fellowship is important. Our fellowship is so important, people. Because that is how we grow in the love of God. If sin, if darkness is permitted into the soul, then how can light and darkness have fellowship? My Bible tells me they don't. Did you guys know that? It says, what fellowship has light with darkness? You know, he says, think not that I've come to bring peace on earth. What? But it's said over there in Luke, he says, I come to bring peace on earth. You have to understand the differences in the understanding of peace. When he says, I could think not that I come to bring peace on earth, but to set one against the other. He wasn't talking about the fact that his intentions were bringing peace to society. What he was talking about is some people will receive Christ and some people will not. And the people that will not receive him, you will have problem walking in peace with them. And it can be those of your own household. See, these, can you admit that these are important? Amen. Yes, they are. Because if you want to really answer your call for God, you have got to get an understanding of how to get control of your outward being. You've got to get an understanding of where your enemy is seated right now. He is seated under your feet, not man, him. And then you have to understand how to perfect your fellowship with people. People, I'm going to tell you, people have all kinds of different beliefs. My conscience is so strong towards God now that there are things that I used to permit. I won't permit it now. Not because God came down and said, you're going to go to hell because you're still permitting that. It's just that my love for God grew more and more in him having the preeminence in my life that now I can't even stomach the things I used to put up with. Can't stomach them. There's just a different about that society and that way of walking and living. I hate it. There's some parts of me that of my flesh I still hate. But I don't take my mind off them. I keep my mind on them. Maybe I should get my mind off them. But anyway. But I'm ever mindful of things that I have to change towards my family, my wife, my loved ones, if I want to grow in Him. And there is a place that you actually get in your life, people, to where you really want to please the Lord. My Heavenly Father was saved me. But my Heavenly Father is now my Lord. And there is a difference. When He speaks to me now, He doesn't speak to me in a way that He's working with my compromise. He speaks to me now in a command. He is my Lord. I hope this helps you. So important that we grow. And if you ever can get a hold of the book called Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin, please do. That is his prime work. I still have that book. I put it in a hardback with a three-ring binder. And I occasionally I go back to that book and I eat it. I quit reading, people. I eat Scripture. I don't read Scripture. I eat it. And when I say eat it, I consume it. I digest it. Why? Because it becomes a part of you when you eat it. That's why the Bible in the Old Testament is very clear. You have to take and eat. God says, eat it. This intellect here will just acknowledge words. But when you read the Word of God, you got to eat it. And for if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, plural. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you shall be? He be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and a holy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And somebody said, that verse there really plainly tells you you won't make it. But verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, that sin couldn't be just referring to any sin. For if just referred to any sin, then 1 John 1:9 wouldn't be true. 1 John 1:9 promises us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, Hebrews 10:26 is talking about the sin of rejecting Christ. Paul, who I believe was the author of the book of Hebrews, I do too, was originally writing to Hebrew Christians in this passage. There is a principle in these verses for all Christians, of course. But in the New Testament days, the Jewish Christians were tempted to go back into Judaism because of the difficulties of following Christ. And so when people say they're going back into Judaism, that horrifies me. What do you mean going back into Judaism? And one of them said, well, we go back to finding where our roots were. Well, you can't find Christ in Judaism unless Judaism exposes Christ. Otherwise, you won't find your roots until you go into the New Testament. Then when you get into the New Testament, you find Christ. Which then, when you go back to the Old Testament, you know what the Old Testament was referring to. Are you following me? And so here these converted Hebrews wanted to go back into Judaism. And then Paul, who I believe too was the author, said, if you go back to Judaism, then who's going to purge you of missing the mark with God? Who's going to purge you? Because Christ was the sacrifice who would purge you of darkness. And he said, if there's no purging of that darkness, you could lose your salvation. I guarantee you, if they go back to Judaism, I guarantee you, by rejecting and going back into Judaism, they would eventually be taken away from Christ. Because if you take one compromise, it'll add to the other. Did you guys get something here today? Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of those two voices that go off on the inside of us. And so, Father, today I ask, as everyone bows their head right now, I ask, if there's anybody who has never confessed Jesus as Lord and would love to do so, Father, we would love to lead him into a sinner's prayer into the kingdom of God, because this world has nothing to offer anybody but death. And so we want to pray for them. And Father, if there's anybody here that has never had the fullness of the Holy Spirit, they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit as the one who can deliver and save their soul. Father, it's important they get that language, because that language is the only way we get to understand the message. And Father, if there are people still struggling with an infirmity in their flesh, we can still lay hands on, but Father, teach them to receive that anointing that will drive out that sickness, disease. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For salvation, for the baptism, for healing. If you need any one of those areas, please step out and come forward now, anybody. Yes, hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Did this help you today? I don't mean to overwhelm you. I mean to try to make it as simple as I can. But people, truth is truth. How many of you can know that? Truth is truth. There's no other way around it. You know, it saddens my heart that men would spend their whole life wanting to know where truth is. Truth is found in the Word of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The truth is when God can come into your heart and life and preserve you, protect you, and heal you, and deliver you. Hallelujah. 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 I hope I didn't overwhelm you today, but hallelujah. I do feel in my spirit, I don't know why the Lord wants me to do this, but there are some of you still battling with words that were shot into your thinking that you're still struggling and battling with. I want to pray with you. If you have what somebody said about you or words spoken against you, and it is a stronghold in your thinking, I want you to come forward and let me pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. All of us have had that. Even me. I've asked people to pray for me on certain things that have been spoken to my soul, and I need to be free from it. Hallelujah. Anybody here? We're just going to take a minute. God would not bring that up if it was not true. Anyone else? Praise God. You know, when you testify before men, then He will testify before the Father of what you have need of. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. Many of us, we don't want others to think bad about us. But you know what? When the Spirit of God says something, it don't matter what people think. It matters what God is saying to us. Amen. You know what? You even had the enemy come to you and tell you that some of your prayers will not work. When the devil tells you your prayers will not work, I guarantee you they are working. He is a liar. And if you're hampered by that, you come up here too. We're going to do some damage to the kingdom of darkness here. Hallelujah. Anybody else? If the enemy has come and he has lied to you and said you've messed up, there's no way you're going to get out of what you've messed up with, then I'll tell you what, you're a candidate to come up here and let us agree with you. The devil is a liar. And all you got to do is put that thing just between you and God, put it up before him. And when I lay hands on you, it got to go. I'm tired of the devil's big fat mouth. How many of you realize the devil has a big fat mouth? He goes about as a roaring lion. You ever seen them lions roar when they get their mouth wide open? Hallelujah. All there is a bunch of wind. Amen. Anyone else? I don't feel led to stop yet. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Want somebody to join? Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Now there are some of you have been relying on the promises of God and you've entered into wishful thinking. And God says, you go back to your faith on them promises, not wishful thinking. Now if there's anybody here that fits that category, I want you up here too. Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, we're going to kick some today, Amy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all right to say that, right, Bob? When you're a hunter, you know how to handle language. Anyway. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, right up in here. Praise God. You're gonna stay back there? You're gonna go up here too? Praise God. Okay, our congregation, start praying. Praise God, start praying. Hallelujah. Don't worry, the Seahawks will win. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you guys ready? Hallelujah. When I go by, see, this is between you and God. These are important things. It's between you and God. This is between you and God. Amen. And so when I lay hands on you, I'm coming in agreement with the Spirit of God by the things I spoke today. I'm agreeing by the Spirit of God that whatever the enemy has done to attack your mind and say the things that have been permitted to get into your mind, they're lies. Hallelujah. Because God says good things about us. He always moves towards to remove darkness in our thinking to bring light. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, you're the best looking bunch I've ever. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 That's why the Lord told me, be careful how you talk about your congregation. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's bad enough to have the devil talk against you without your pastor doing it too. Praise God. So Father, in the name of Jesus, as I go by and I touch these wonderful people, start praying. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let you go until you start praying with me right now. Hallelujah. Father, when I go by and touch these people, I'm going to go this way to that way. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe I had the mind of Christ when I went to them all. Praise God. And so, Father, may they remember what I shared with them. And may they walk in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys can go home.